Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are in Chapter 5 of Sensitive is the New Strong by Anita Morjani. And it's all about being spiritual means being yourself. And it says, being an empath is a gift. It's my connection to all that is. And, boy, I'm going to interested to see what my lovely co-host, Amy, has to say about that. So, Amy, how you doing?
Well, I'm being somebody else right now. So I need to try to get myself back
well,
to myself.
Wait a minute. I need to get my co-host. I don't know. I don't think this is going to work for me. Let's get a co-host so like, they know what's going on here.
I'm being
well,
yourself?
I think that's the question. That's the question. Who are you now? Who are you now? Wasn't that Bradshaw? Didn't Bradshaw have that as an exercise where you just kept asking yourself, who am I now?
Well, that's one of my favorite exercises. I am, and keep answering that, right, over and over and over.
Yeah, you know, three pages later, after you feel like, I am that I am, you start thinking that you're Popeye.
That's it.
Yeah, you do my Popeye impression, which is not very good, by the way, but that's okay.
I need spinach. That's right. That's
yeah.
Myself. Myself.
And Bruno and gosh, what is his girlfriend's name? I want to say it's
Olive,
Violet, but that's not right. Olive, that's right. It's Olive, yeah.
Olive oil.
There you go. Olive oil, yeah. Oh, Popeye. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that was a real digress.
We took, all right, here we come. We're coming back to self.
That's
whatever.
Spiritual. That's all spiritual. So
this first sentence, which I think we've been talking about in, for years, but it's like coming back to, a lot of things that I think found to be true. Empaths straddle two realms, the outer world and its fear-based messages, and our inner world, which connects us to our heart and our soul. And for me, that's really about, and we've had this conversation, that as we live more consciously, as we do our healing work and go back to who our self is, our real self, right, who we came in here to be, I think it becomes more obvious and we become more sensitive. And I just think that's why it's so important with supporting people, right, and having their tools. And he talks about because of our heightened sensitivity and connection, we're drawn to spiritual teachings like moths to a flame.
For sure. So all these people are just like, I have to go to this class or I feel like I need to learn how to meditate or I need to learn about my chakras or, it's the full gambit of all these different things that we feel drawn to. But I love when she goes on, she said, this chapter focuses on how the strength of self-love, trust, and faith helps us develop our spiritual connections without losing ourselves. And I think that's really what we're talking about is like, yes, there's spiritual practices out there that would have all these different philosophies that have been on since the beginnings of time and all that stuff. But, how many of them really focus on self-love, trust, and faith? So I think that's a really good way of being able to, look at that and have it be able to walk through that. So Anita really shared a very heartwarming story about how her mom and dad had basically she had had a planned marriage and she walked away from that. An arranged marriage. And they winded up taking her to a guru after that. They're like, we don't know what to do with you. We're going to ask this guy. And this guy ended up saying, well, you need to have it so where you're, you've gone down the wrong road and you're too independent and you need to be this and this and that. He just started telling her all these things that she was wrong. And there was an innate knowing within herself. And she just was just thinking, this isn't true.
Let's talk
honoring
about
me.
Right. Yeah, the most I think that were really hit her. So he's doing this, mm-hmm. and she's like, okay, well, maybe they're right and cultural and blah, blah, blah. But then she says, but the one statement that hit me the hardest was, you are flawed, followed by, mm-hmm. until you change, you will not only not get married, but you will also not be able to go to heaven, basically, nirvana. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was like, crap, you know? And so for her, and then she goes on to talk about, you know, following gurus and how that can really lead you down the wrong path. And the whole idea of what the spiritual path is, and I believe that to be true, is it's finding who I really am, who I'm here to be, what is my calling, and living that. And that's what you and I are, you know, so careful to do for ourselves and each other and anybody that we support, is how do I support you finding your way and your path and not following somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that can
and being
be
able to,
you know,
yeah, being able to trust that, do your own inner guidance and what that looks like, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, we were talking about this earlier today on the Flower for Living talk that we have. We also have those available on our YouTube. If you go to Flower for Living Community, there's YouTubes out there now that we're doing for that whole thing that we're working with. But it's really coming from that place of being able to just, it's like a muscle. You really have to just work with it and come to this place of where it continually shows you that it's an honored message and that I can trust that. I can just be in the present moment and know I'm getting exactly what I need to get. And I'm interacting with exactly who I need to be interacting with. How do I know? Because that person's in front of me.
And you have to do the practice, and you have to keep going. And it isn't necessarily that it's easier or harder, but it's a continual thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're just saying, oh, I got it. Oh, no. If you think you've got it, then you're in trouble. And it's really interesting she talks about, and I know a lot of people talk about this, how they have, you know, all these experiences of following all these people and listening to these people and not listening to their own inner voice. I'd like to play with you about this a lot, but for me, that was never really the case. And I guess I can remember from a very young age, and, you know, my husband, our dear Ross, always says, you're always doing homework. And yes, I am. And I can remember from the time I was really young, knowing that I had to work really hard to stay in my truth and be as kind as I could to other people in their truth, but stay in mine. And I got rewarded for it, and I got in a lot of trouble for it. So how about your experience? Do you feel like you, again, because I could see both sides of that with you, that you stay in your truth, but then you kind of, you know, watch it at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And I think, you know, it's something to be said that as you get older, you know, your spirituality matures as you mature. And, you know, it's part of it, life lessons of, you know, interacting and seeing, you know, what's true and not true for people. But I think part of that, too, is like when I kind of really woke up after our dad died and I started really leaning into what, you know, the angels and my spirit and my journaling and all that work that I did there was really seeking to tell me. Yeah, I had that totally different perspective because it was something that I was doing automatic writing with, and it was helping me to get a voice that I'd never known before. I wasn't familiar with it. I'm sure I knew it, but it wasn't something I'd shut it off because as a youngster, I got shut down.
Right.
So in getting shut down. And getting shut down, you really feel like I've never had this, but yet it's just a matter of like how young was I when I decided it wasn't safe for me to be in that place.
But do you feel like you were able to do it in other ways through your athletics or through writing or drawing or anything? I mean, I just don't really know the answer to that, Robin. It's not a trick question.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I mean, anything that can be expressing, anything that could be an expression. So, I mean, you know, for me, sometimes it was our grandmother taught me how to sew.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the creativity of sewing. I think I had a lot of that with that. And once I got into floristry and learned how to design and things like that, I had that. I always loved to paint and, you know, I took my doodles and turned them into art and things like that. So I think it's part of that, too, but, you know, and having at least, you know, a fairly healthy encouragement with different people about, you know, we'll try this, we'll try that. It wasn't, I think, until later when I had become a florist and I studied Ikebana, where my teacher would teach me to basically take something apart and put it back together again in a different way. I had to learn detachment. So when you learn detachment within creativity, it really goes to everything. Because you're just seeing from moment to moment how spirit is working and creating things, but yet it looks like it's in this place of destruction or change. But again, it can turn, you know, beautifully into something else. I don't know why, but I'm seeing like a kaleidoscope. You know how a kaleidoscope is just constantly changing from one thing to the next, and it's got all these patterns and everything that it's working through. But it has to let go of that image before it to be able to be going into something else. And a kaleidoscope is never going to look the same twice, you know, depending if it's, especially if it's those prisms, you know, where you just move the ball around and things like that, and it keeps changing. You're not going to see the, a repeat of something. So well, it comes from that kind of creative, expression in essence that it is.
And helping ourselves and each other to find our voice, something that just came to me again, I don't have this all fleshed out, but that our, finding our unique voice, our unique process. And I've been, with me a long time, but really focused on it and doing a lot of self-development. Certainly my master's in spiritual psychology was just, inundated with doing that and really looking at patterns and what do you do and how you, is that where you want to be? And really the number one job was finding your unique process. And, and I keep an eye on it and don't just say that's just the way it's going to be. And I think something that I find interesting is that our voices aren't always really beautiful or pretty. Sometimes your voice is about warbling or trying different venues or different ways, and that it's not always perfect.
And you have to be, I think as you grow and you can enjoy that it's different ways it's expressing instead of having it be. And we were talking today about that too, about expectations. Because when you're expecting things to be a certain way, it really can, minimize the kind of things that can be available to you. Because you're only putting it in a framework instead of allowing it to just express itself in a way that really could help you to enhance and move on to something you might not have ever considered.
Well, and one thing that I want to caution people about, I work with a lot of people. I would say most people I work with are at a spiritual awakening. It could look like a divorce or a career change or a health challenge, but it's really a spiritual awakening. And just know that, it's process and trusting yourself and being really careful about when we're in that vulnerable state, there are predators that come. And so you have to be careful. And learn to, I've had, counselors, PhDs that really were taking advantage of me. And that happens. And so when you're in that vulnerable state, it's really important to have people that you trust support you and find spiritual teachers, whatever, like Katie Fitzgerald is our functional nutritionist who supports the work that we do. So there are people that you can trust. They really have your highest good out there, and that they see your greatness and they teach you how to see it yourself instead of trying to rescue you, which is tough, or take their theories and their beliefs and say, that is how you have to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think part of it's, it's just like, when you were saying that, it made me think of college and, how you just want to be in a place where you're working with a professor, and it's a matter of like, what do I need to do to get the grade that I need? So there's manipulation. There's a lot of things can be at play with that because you want to be a student pleaser, people pleaser in the way that you would be going through something, basically to, be able to have the curriculum or whatever. And, it's so much of that's out of your hands when it comes to just being able to, share what you're learning and how you're learning it instead of having it be, it depends on the teacher, of course. But, I've always had experiences with some teachers where, my way, highway,
Right.
And having curriculums and stuff like that with that. So to me, it was almost like playing, it's not even like it, it's playing the game to get through it.
Yeah.
And,
I've
I encourage my daughters to know that, so that it's important that, you know, it's just, this is just to go through the class. You basically do what you need to do. I mean, the one thing you don't want to do is lose your dignity.
Yeah.
And be in a place where, you know, I do what I need to do and I move forward with that, you know, and hopefully I can have something where it's a good takeaway for me, but sometimes it's just basically to get the grade.
Well, and you're always learning something, right? So knowing that, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, you're in school just to get through it and to learn something. So one of my most profound teachers, he was tough, and you know, he really was hard to get through. But what he did is he would have us, it was a management leadership class, that you would, his exams were always essay, and you would compare this theory against that theory. And he would have, and I don't think he really cared what the answer was, right? But what your critical thinking of it and how you came up with an answer yourself. Because, of course, leadership is very situational. It's based on the situation, the people, where they're at, where you're at, and what's happening in the world. And so being able to shift and change situationally is so important as a person, as a leader, as a parent, right?
Mm-hmm. So I just think that, you know, the bottom line is, you know, looking at your life situations when it's, you know, in being spiritual means being myself, you know, really asking yourself in, you know, sometimes moment to moment, it's just like, you know, am I still with myself? Am I still in a sense of, you know, where I feel confident and strong and resilient no matter what I've got in front of me or what's seeking to, you know, push me one way or another? And how am I with me? You know, it's about having that raw clarity of what's truly happening in front of me instead of having other people, you know, clouding what's really in front of me. And I think that's something that you really have to step back and you know, one thing that I'm getting a lot lately is just when it comes to our growth, our change, having a spiritual life means having the relationship with spirit, you know, and what that can look like a lot of things to other people, you know, whether, you know, it's, you know, having Jesus Christ as your spiritual teacher, you know, angels, you know, whatever is seeking to be with you. But the bottom line is it's a teacher that's really there that wants to celebrate who you are. And basically having a place where, you know, you're a divine expression, and it's exciting to see what you want to have, what comes through you, instead of they may have not having their curriculum or whatever that they're wanting you to just repeat for the matter that you're in that. Because, you know, a good teacher helps you to believe in yourself rather than to cultivate a belief in them. And ultimately, you know, they teach you to connect to the divine that lies within you. And I think that's really what we're talking about.
That where they're leading, that a strong self really comes out of self-love. And not that narcissistic love, but, you know, true love. And I don't want to get caught in this too much, Robin, but I want to kind of, she talks about here in the section on the key to self-love, she says, one of the methods I use to increase self-love is to write my way through my feelings. It's very cathartic, and I love that. And in your journal, log your responses to these questions. So what I'm going to just kind of walk through, and I'm going to ask you, you know, just to be honest with yourself and not get caught up in these questions. Do I judge myself too harshly? Do I allow people to walk all over me and exploit me? Do I go to the ends of earth to please other people, even to my own detriment? Do I feel tired and drained often? Do I seek out people who have hurt me, trying to win their approval? Do I fear disappointment? Do I take time for others but not for myself? Do I feel guilty when I do something nice for myself? So no judgment, you know, just kind of yes or no, just kind of okay. And just kind of be with that. And she talks about there, you know, there's plenty of room to love yourself more, and you can make a list of things you do if you did love yourself and be really honest. And so that might be a really good exercise, you know, for people to do. And a little further down, I like, he talks about loving ourselves infuses us with strength, the strength to love others and lovingly walk away from those who don't nurture our lives. One of the mantras I have created to help me stay in this positive space, I will only engage with those who are loving and appreciate and appreciative towards me.
Sounds easy.
You know, and again, it's practice. It's having a good support. It's having, you know, and I think we're really blessed, but we really have worked hard on ourselves independently, doing, you know, work with, you know, codependence. For me, certainly work addiction. And how does that, you know, it stopped me from being who I came here to be. And that's the bottom line, is getting yourself to the point where you can trust yourself to say, no, this doesn't work for me. And you don't have to be hurtful about it. Just find where are the sources of support, and how do I grow in self-love?
Yeah, I think a good IQ, or just kind of an awareness with that, is like, if you had a really great friend that was experiencing those things, would you think that was okay for them? Because if you can detach yourself or have some distance from a situation, and just like, what if my best friend had those circumstances going on, what would I say?
So what I'd like to walk us through, and then at the very end you can read the meditations he has, which I think is really beautiful. But in looking at this, it brought me to looking at the book I had written with Ann Ronan and published in 2000, When Work Isn't Working. And we talked about authentic power. And some of the things that I like to have people spend some time with, again, it takes, you know, some practice, and really, I know you're powerful. I know you're self-loving. Maybe you've just forgotten. So some things to do is, like, spend some time saying, when do I feel powerful? When do I feel powerless? And how do I empower myself? And spend some time, you know, being with that and finding some people that you can have an interesting conversation. Now, I'd like to lead us through a power visualization. Are you up for that, Rob?
Let's do it.
All right. Here we go. So I want you to just, you know, get yourself relaxed. Take some nice deep breaths in, breathing in love, and breathing out anything that doesn't serve you. Now imagine yourself walking up to a building who has authentic power written on it. Open this door and enter the room. What do you experience? What do you see, hear, feel, sense? Now see yourself leaving the room of authentic power and closing the door behind you. You walk on a little bit further, and you come to a door marked Courage. Open this door and enter the room. What do you experience? What do you see, hear, feel, and sense? Now see yourself leaving the room of Courage and closing the door behind you. Now you're walking a little bit further, and then you come upon another door, and this one's marked Support. Open this door and enter the room. What do you experience? What do you see, hear, feel, sense? Now see yourself leaving the room of Support and closing the door behind you. You walk a little bit, and you come across another door. And this door is marked Guidance. Open this door and enter the room. Ask for guides to come forward to support you on stepping into your authentic power. What do they share with you? Now check inside for your inner guidance. What are you experiencing? What do you see, hear, feel, and sense? Now see yourself leaving the room of guidance and closing the door behind you. Now it's time to return back to your own space. How can you use what you've learned in your life? How can you use what you've learned in your work, in your relationships, in other areas of your life? And take some nice deep breaths in, breathing in love, breathing out what doesn't serve you, breathing in authentic power, breathing in courage, breathing in support, and trusting that guidance is coming and you'll get exactly what you need when you need it. All right, now wiggle your fingers and your toes and come back. So did anything come to you, Robin?
Yeah, just each one was great because it helps you to just kind of dip in a little bit and be in those things of courage. And, you know, it was really good to just kind of say, you know, where am I with that? And I think it's a good thing to go back and just kind of go back into it, you know. You do it once a week for a few days, you know, a few months.
Mm-hmm.
Because it helps you to be able to see what it really is instead of just like a one-time visit, is allow yourself to go there and experience it, you know, like every weekend, you know, listen to this exercise, and then maybe do a little journaling or just, you know, how has that changed?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think
and
that's
you can
a really great way.
More
yeah.
time in one room than another, or maybe just spend some time in one of the rooms.
Right, right. And if something kind of felt vague or whatever, it's like spend a little bit more time about, you know, what is that? You know, what is courage? And what do I think it is? And things that I resonate with it and things that I don't think are courage. And, you know, what's, you know, it's always good to do that. You know, is it this or that? Or what is it for me kind of thing? And then have it maybe having a conversation with some people that you feel comfortable with where you could have that kind of a thing where everybody could listen to the exercise and then, you know, like I said, you know, maybe once a month to kind of do check-ins and see where people are with some of that stuff. I think it'd be really great and very revealing. So it's always nice to have other opinions with that or other perspectives.
Exactly. And then, you know, that's the key to having people that really help you to explore. And, you know, something I know that you're really gifted at and you enjoy is maybe you go to those rooms and draw what the courage is. Support is, and that, you know, that's not fun for me, but that's part of how your process. So I could see you doing that or leading other people or even going to the Room of Courage and everybody design flowers.
Yeah, or, you know, even just playing with the idea of color, maybe what would color look like or whatever. And I, you know, the nuances of that, of like courage in like protecting a child, or courage in basically standing up for myself, courage in the sense of like, you know, honoring my voice. Lots of different ways that I would bring courage up, and what would that look like, and how maybe would that
maybe
be?
Yeah, maybe. Oh, I can just really see you, you know, leading people in a, you know, creating an authentic power bouquet.
Right,
and picking flowers for each of those areas, and could be other areas. I mean, it's not limited to the rooms I took you to, right? There's plenty of other rooms.
Right. and it's going to be there's other rooms there, and you know, there's you could even. Well, look at a bunch of, you know, positive adjectives and open it up and see what it is. I mean, you know, give yourself the opportunity to have a lot of different things that could be there. It's like I went through a whole period in my life where I was looking at grace, and I didn't. I was like, "What is grace?" And I asked, you know, Spirit to show me that. You know, what is grace? You know, so you know, I had literally 2 or 3 years of just being able to see a lot of the different aspects of grace. So you know, be careful what you ask for; you just might get it. But that's a good thing.
So
ultimately, it's a good thing.
So what I'll do on Flowerful Living and also Transformation Cafe Community, post the you know, this podcast, and I will and in the comments the words that I shared, knowing that you can adapt them to whatever works best for you.
Right. You know, and you can make it into a soundbite, or actually can just record the exercise itself. and make it where you can go ahead and be listening to that. And sometimes even if you, you've got it where it's written down, you could actually record it and do it in your own voice, and that could be very powerful. So the meditation for expressing your divinity, I said, recite these words often. The more you practice in this type of meditation, the more you'll stay truly free to the divine love and the divine energy and love flowing through you. These words can be constant sources of strength, so we encourage you to repeat them and think of them often. It says, I'm a facet of the divine and always connected to it. I am powerful and have access to everything I need. I feel my energy expand as I visualize it. I am a spiritual being and I am loved. Love is my birthright and not something I have to work for. I release all doubts and fears within me. I am worthy and deserving and express myself unapologetically. That's very powerful. And just a little side note, Lee Harris, we're big fans of him. If you go to Lee Harris on YouTube, or he has his own LeeHarrisEnergy.com, he has a wonderful weekly offering that's called Impact the World. And currently he has one with Dave Markowitz. And Dave has been this person that's been just a silent, a very quiet voice for the empaths for probably the last 15, 20 years, and he's really getting to be known now since empaths are really, we're seeing that empath recovery is so important and really, you know, that we all have these abilities that have been stifled. And that's just what this whole book is about, with the sensitivity, you know, with the empathic work that he's done.
Right,
right. Our superpower, exactly. Our superpower, figuring out what that is and being able to embrace it. So he has an interview with Dave Markowitz, and it's just a really wonderful one. And from that, I wound up finding at least four or five other YouTubes that were great interviews with Dave. So really encourage you, if you feel led, to go investigate him a little bit. It'll be worth your time, because I found his stuff to be very good. He's got another, he's got a book, his recent book's called Empathopedia.
Easy for you to say.
Kind of a mouthful. Yeah, not really. But that's the book that probably will be sharing some information out of that as we go along with this book, too, if I went ahead and got that ordered, with just some of the things that he recommends and some of the insights and stuff like that, too. So we'll go ahead and have some of that listed over at the Flower for Living community on Facebook as well. So thank you all for joining us. It's always an interesting, you know, be spiritual means being yourself. So go out there and enjoy yourself. And just like I said, do some self-care. Doing nice things for yourself. All those questions that Amy had listed about those, the different aspects about, you know, the different fears and things that you'll be able to look at, and just the keys to self-love is a really great way of, like, these things that I know are really tender to me, how can I work to strengthen that in myself and be moving into a place where, you know, I do nice things for myself. So it's always
And maybe
thing,
go
so.
Date yourself a little bit.
Go find out
yeah,
about
yeah, exactly.
Person.
Take yourself out on a date. Go have coffee and a movie. That sounds awesome.
I like it.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.